Well, I'm quite sure if Terry didn't mention this because he didn't want to, or he forgot, or he decided it'd just be best if today I wasn't here this afternoon. But I'll be going to East Texas this afternoon. I'm going to speak to a combined gathering of around 7 different congregations who meet on the first Sunday afternoon, so I'm looking forward to that opportunity. If you will, we're going to have what I call the climax. What a marvelous lesson. If you ever want to take the time to do a study on your own, you might just take a concordance, or if you go on your phone, just look at how many times the word one is found in the Bible. And all the things that are said about that word, one, throughout Scripture. This is truly a chapter where Paul wants us to understand what a marvelous thing we have in Christ Jesus if we are Christians. In John chapter 17, verses 21 through 23, Jesus talks about his relationship to the Father and his relationship to us as his disciples. It is here John says that it was his desire that we should be one with him like he said he was with the Father. What a marvelous thought. And so this is summed up, I think, in verse 3 where Paul says, endeavoring. And as I looked at that word a little more, and what I want to say as we begin this lesson, I think it's been a long time since I have enjoyed a lesson as much as I have studying for this one. Not only because of things that it reminded me of, but for thoughts that I came across that maybe I haven't had before. And one of them is here in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity in the bond of peace. When you look at this word and it's translated into our English Bible, endeavoring, it is a word that carries with it the idea of ongoing. It is not something you do and then the task is done. It is a continuous 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week work. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When you think about this, is it any wonder that the religious world is divided? It takes great effort to endure it, to bear up under the pressures that the world brings for division, for all different ideas and different doctrines and philosophies of men. So Paul is telling us here that if you want to have unity, and you understand that John says in 1 John chapter 1, that the unity that he desires was a unity with the Father and with the Son, to be with them, like them, to have things in common with them. And so these 7 ones are very important. Because if we do not endorse and practice, believe the 7 ones that are written about in Ephesians chapter 4, we do not understand how important it is that we walk with God. Now I want you to go down with me into verse 11, or verse 7, and realize that Paul begins to tell us that there is something wonderful about these 7 ones. This is a story. Paul says when you put them all together, here's the story. And the story is this. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see, Paul is telling us that when you look at all that God has put in place, that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, so on and so forth, all of these are here because there is one grace. There is one saving power. There is only one thing that can give to man the hope of eternal life. He goes on to say, if you read with him, that this Jesus who came to earth, he ascended up to heaven. Why did he go up to heaven? To prepare a way for us. But in order for Jesus to go up into the heaven, he first had to descend down into the depths of the world. He had to die. He had to be crucified and buried in a tomb before he become the gift of God's grace. Paul says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, "Now the grace of God hath appeared to all men, bringing salvation." If we are correct when we define grace as unmerited favor, surely then we can understand that the greatest example of God's grace is Jesus Christ. I don't deserve him. I do not deserve a relationship with him. I do not deserve that he should have died on a cross for me. I do not deserve that he should give me a crown of righteousness. This is the gift that God sent into the world when Jesus came and walked among us. But the grace of God came as a great gift. Jesus was despised, rejected of men. He was beaten, spat upon. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. And then he died on an old rugged cross. A symbol of grace. A gift that I did not deserve. We've all sung this great old hymn. I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid it. He paid a debt he did not owe it. You see, Jesus went into the grave because he loved us. As Raleigh said a few moments ago, we do not come around this Lord's table every Sunday because we are worthy. We come because he is worthy. He is the gift of God's grace given to us. Now, therefore, this same Jesus who went into the grave, who was resurrected and ascended into heaven, the God of heaven has made him both Lord and Christ, hath put all things under his feet. He has given him all authority in heaven and in earth. And this one who is to be the center of attention, the one who is to have all power, comes demanding these things: unity. Paul said to the Corinthians, we should be of the same mind and the same judgment. There should be no division among us, but we should all speak the same thing. Now Paul talks about this unity, that we should all unite to be like Jesus Christ. You want to know why the world today is divided? You want to know why religiously people are often saying, I don't believe that, I believe this, I'll go this way? Paul said even in his day, there were those who wanted to say, I'm Paul, I'm Cephas, I'm Christ. But men forget something. I don't know how many times in religious discussions I've had somebody say to me, well, I don't care what the Bible says, I believe this is good enough. I believe this will be okay. What Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 is this. If you want to love Jesus, you want to make heaven your home, grow up. Realize that you cannot be a child anymore. But you must put away childish things, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You must grow up to be like Jesus Christ. And more than once in this text does Paul talk about growing up, maturing, being like Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. What does it take to grow up in Christ? What does it take for man to have unity with God the Father, God the Son, and with all of those who seek to do right? Well, I'll take you back to the first chapter. And if you miss this point, then you miss what it takes for us to grow up in Christ. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, who was Paul? He said, I was a prisoner. I was captured. I lived a life that by many people's standard was an absolutely amazing life. Paul said, never in my life did I do anything thinking it was wrong. I lived in all good conscience before God. But one day I came face to face with one who is called Jesus the Christ. And when he appeared to me on that road to Damascus, I said, Lord, who are you? Who are you that I should listen to your voice? That's what Pharaoh had said long ago when Moses had said, God said, let my people go. But God appears to Saul, that we know as Paul, and Paul said, who are you? Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, the Christ, whom thou persecutest. Isn't it difficult for you to fight against me? Isn't it difficult for you to walk in your own ways? So Paul calls these people, he said, if you are a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and that's what it takes before you can truly wear the name Christian. You must be captured by the Lord. You no longer are free to think, to choose, to believe whatever you want to. You are now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, when you get this, then listen carefully. Then you walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. All of these thoughts carry with it the idea of a child who has thought he was free to have his own way, to do what he wanted. And Paul says, get off your high horse. Humble yourself. Find a cause that is greater than yourself. Suffer for me and love your brethren. Grow up. Do you realize that if I say I want to go to heaven, I cannot go to heaven if I have not been captured, bought, at a price, and I belong to Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for all my journey on earth. I seek to be one with the Lord. Are you a prisoner today? Have you been bought with a price? Have you taken your will and crucified it to the will of Christ? Have you died to sin and been buried with him in the water of the grave, where the old man is passed away? And behold, all things have become new. The world today is desperately in need of people who are not free will or free thinkers, but people who have been captured by the Son of God himself and have become servants to righteousness. If you need a way today, you're subject to heaven's invitation. We encourage you to come along with Staff and Center.
Jesus is tenderly calling.